Thank you, Jesus. I believe the true report. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I have passed the outer court. Oh, glory be to God. I am all on Jesus' side. Once with Jesus crucified, to the world and sin I've died. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am in the presence of the King. I'm a king and priest to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. By the cleansing of the blood, oh, glory be to God. By the Spirit's power and might, I am living day and night in the holiest place of bright. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. I have passed the outer veil. Hallelujah to the Lamb, which did once God's light conceal. Oh, glory be to God. But the blood has brought me in to God's holiness so clean, where His glory's e'er seen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am past the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. I'm within the holiest pale. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I have passed the inner veil. Oh, glory be to God. I am sanctified to God by the power of the blood. Now the Lord is my abode. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the ribbon veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Glory. Why don't we go to 169? 169, face to face. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face, I shall behold far beyond the starry sky. Face
And all that is within me,
grasp is holy. He has done great things, hallelujah. He has done great things, hallelujah. He has done great things, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into His marvelous light, into His marvelous light. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness, into His marvelous light, into His marvelous light. Glory. Amen. Yes, He has.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful Savior. Let's stand as we sing our last song. Bless the Lord. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty works, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty works, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was was, and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore.
Today, I'm going to start a series of sermons. They're going to be 3 weeks, and it's a kind of a strange sermon in a way. But there are three characters in the Bible that Ezekiel talks about. And he says that God spoke this, and we'll read it in a moment. But he names these characters Noah, Daniel, and Job. And so we're going to talk about the significance of those three people, those three men of God. What an impact those three people have had upon us right now today. Noah, the man who endured clear through all of that building of the ark and people making fun of him and everything, and finally he and his family were the only ones left on the whole world. Can you imagine? And that is such a lesson to us. And then we have Daniel, who was a young man taken away into Babylon in captivity, just horrible. So many of them were just killed, you know, the Jews and these young men that were taken into Babylon. And God put his special gift upon Daniel. You know that the book of Revelation would be hard to be understood if we didn't have Daniel. So, you know, God had a reason for all of this. He had a definite reason. And, of course, Job. What would we do without Job? We would think that we were the strangest creatures on earth and going through all the things we go through. And then we read about Job and we think, well, I've never been through what he went through. And so God uses these special characters. If you turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, we're going to just read that. Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. The prophet Ezekiel lived along at the same time of Daniel. And so their writings have a lot to do with one another. And so in this 14th chapter of Ezekiel, we're going to be beginning reading with verse 12. And it says there in Ezekiel 14, verse 12, "The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and I will break the staff of the bread thereof." In other words, it wouldn't be able to grow anything. "And I will send famine upon it. I will cut off man and beast from it. And though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, says the Lord." And then down verse 15, "If I cause noisome beasts to pasture the land, and they spoil it so that it is be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughters, and only shall be delivered, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. For I bring a sword upon that land, and say, Sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall neither deliver son nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. For I send a pestilence into the land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by thy righteousness." These three men are very outstanding. We know that. And in God's estimation, they're very outstanding. They're much more than we can think. These men went through great trials and sufferings. And every one of them, all three of them, we all can think about it. You know, what Job went through, what Daniel went through, being thrown in the lion's den and all of those things, what dear Noah went through. And so today we're just going to talk about Noah. The first part. We're going to go back to Genesis, the fifth chapter. Genesis, the fifth chapter. We're going to be studying about Noah. And all of us, so many of us know this, you know, already. But anyway, it's what the Lord impressed on me to do. So we'll do this. Now, in this fifth chapter, we want to read in the fifth chapter, verse 22, about Enoch. We're just going to go through a little bit of time here just to show where Noah was, how he fit into this. Enoch walked with God, and afterward he begat Methuselah. 300 years after he walked with God, after he begat Methuselah, 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. But Methuselah lived 187 years, and he begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 780 years and two, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and he begat a son. It doesn't say begat a whole bunch of children, because this son was really important in this text. He called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." And Lamech begat, after he begat Noah, 595 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And then notice in verse 32, and Lamech was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And that kind of stuck out to me. You know, we see a picture, somebody wanting to portray Noah building the ark. We see this robust-looking person, and we have a tendency to think, oh, yeah, maybe 50 years old, maybe 40s, in his 40s, building this big ark. And you've seen the ark that they have up in Ohio on TV, how huge it is, you know, big as a football field and everything. It took them 120 years to get that ark built. And yet Noah was so faithful, and his boys helping him. And then we think of them as boys. And it took them 120 years to get the ark built. And they were at least 120 years old when they got through with that. Can you imagine? That's an old time. They hadn't had any children yet. So after the ark, then they have children. That's amazing. Of course, people were living to be 900-something years old in those days. But after the ark, the time grew smaller. God kept the time of their living. And so we see that Noah was faithful to God. This is about 1,650 years since Adam was on the earth, in the garden. And in verse 3 of chapter 6, the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And that's how we know that it took 120 years for them to build the ark and everything, to get everything ready. And God still was dealing with people to try to get them to believe, but they wouldn't believe. And so there was only that 8 people that believed in God after all of that time. 8 people. Isn't that something? And I was impressed with our chart that Brother gave us, Jeff brought to us out here, because we mentioned this the other day, that Methuselah lived up till almost the time of the flood. And I think 11 years from before the flood that he passed on to be with the Lord. See, God knew that those mighty men would be off the scene, so the ark was not made bigger so Methuselah could be there and Lamech could be there and all of those. But anyway, this is the story of Noah. In verse 8, we want to see, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now we see 4 things there, don't we? He found grace. That means he wasn't because he was so good that God just said, oh, I got to pick him because he's so wonderful. He was a wonderful man. It plainly says that. But it was the grace of God in choosing Noah, just like it's the grace of God choosing us. He benefits his grace to us. And then it says there in verse 9 that he was a just man. That means he was righteous. He was a man who walked with God, who yielded to God. And through that, remember that in the New Testament, we're taught that if we are justified, or we are a righteous person, that we are justified by faith. In other words, we're made righteous by faith. How are you righteous? How am I righteous? By our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And he made us righteous. He made us his children. Praise the Lord. Then we also see that it says he was perfect. And that word means blameless and mature. He was a child of God that walked with God and loved God. And we'll read in a moment that he's over there in the chapter of faith, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And so he found this grace. Isn't that something? It's what God wants of each of us, is to find his grace, his unmerited favor. It's not because we're good that he loves us. It's because we need him. And he comes into our lives and provides for us in his beautiful grace. And we know that he had these three sons in verse 10, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But notice the condition of the world. The earth was also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. So the society here in the world was corrupt. And we know that they were marrying and giving in marriage. There was just all kinds of stuff going on. And God was so displeased with this world that he was going to just destroy everybody. And he found that there was a man in his family who would be saved in the ark. And so it was filled with violence also. It sounds like our day. You know, I like to watch and look at things that show me about the nearness of the coming of the Lord. You know, so far we've had liberty. They tried to keep a lot of people out of church since this COVID thing has happened. And a lot of people got fined, especially out in California and different places. And God isn't pleased with that. But we don't know what's ahead. We don't know the persecutions that may arise. And I read this article that in Australia, and you may have read it also, that pastors who preach against homosexuality are going, they're trying to get the law right now, and they're pretty sure they're going to pass it, that they are going to prosecute those pastors and give them 10 years of prison for preaching against homosexuality. Isn't that something? You ever think about how that could easily come to our United States? We're living in the end time. God is not pleased. God is not pleased with this United States and the stuff that's going on here. And he's going to bring judgment. The judgment is that near, just like it was in Noah's day. I think it's going to be far less than 120 years. I think it's going to happen any time that his judgment is going to come on this world for all of this stuff. God says in verse 13, verse 12, he says the earth is corrupt before him. Verse 13, he says the end of all flesh has come. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And so then God begins to tell Noah what to do. You know, we don't have a lot of times before this where God is actually speaking to people. I noticed that in Adam and Eve, that it doesn't record he talked to them after he got them clothed with the skins of the animals and he put them out of the garden. It doesn't say that he talked to them until God talks to Cain. And I was thinking about that. You know, I like to see, okay, God said, where did he say it? Here he says to Noah, all of a sudden he just starts talking to Noah and telling him, this is what I want you to do. He didn't say, Noah, do you think it would be possible for you to maybe build an ark? Because you know what? I'm going to destroy everything. He didn't let Noah really decide. But Noah was a man who was so yielded to God that anything God told him to do, he was going to do it. And so, going on then into chapter 7, verse 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And he was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his son's wife with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. In verse 10, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. So there was great rain, and the waters of the deep opened up, the scripture says, and gushed up from down there, and everything was just drenched. And so here was Noah and his family floating around out in the water. Praise the Lord that he was obedient to God. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a human race right now. Praise God. So in chapter 9, we want to look. And over in chapter 9, God has brought him out of the ark. And he tells them, beginning in verse 11, that he's going to establish his covenant with them. Now, a covenant is an agreement, a blessing from God. And so God is going to establish this covenant with them. And the thing that was, notice in verse 12, it says, God says, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And he says, and it'll come to pass that when the clouds come over and it looks like it's going to pour rain, then you're going to see the bow. And you will know that my promise is real, that I will never destroy the earth with water again. But how is he going to do it next time? With fire. With fire and brimstone, it's going to come. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 11, 6, you don't need to turn here, but he says there, upon the wicked, and that means the ungodly, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. And in Psalm 50, verse 3, it says, our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him. A fire shall devour before him. Praise the Lord. Noah is mentioned in the Old Testament, and I'm going to have to hurry because according to that, I have 15 minutes. Okay, so in Chronicles, it talks about his genealogy, because the book of Chronicles, you know, starts from the beginning and gives the genealogy, I'll say it. My tongue is getting twisted this morning. And so it talks about Lamech, and it talks about Noah and his sons there. In Isaiah 54, 6, it says that he made the covenant with Noah, and he also made a covenant with Israel. Let's turn to that one, Isaiah 54. Let's go there. He uses Noah as an illustration a lot because of what happened all there. And, of course, in the book of Isaiah, it's because of the children of Israel they're in disobedience to God, terrible disobedience. And so God is going to bring judgment on them, just like he did in the days of Noah, except not with water. He caused the Assyrians first to come down and destroy the Israelites, the 10 tribes, and then he allowed the Babylonians to come down and take into captivity the 2 tribes. But in this chapter 54, says here that he would make a covenant. The first part of the chapter, he's talking about how he is their husband, Israel's husband, and he wants to bring them to himself. And in verse 6, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith the Lord. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Now, he made all provision for them to accept his mercy, and yet they still didn't accept it fully. There were only just portions, little groups of them that really believed and trusted in God. But what I want us to see, I just was going through the Bible, finding the references to Noah. How God used Noah and the things that happened there, how that he had destroyed the whole world, but he is saying, but I want to show you loving kindness. I want to show my kindness to you and not depart from you. But you know, the world today is going to be destroyed by fire. It's going to be destroyed by fire one of these days because they are not obeying God. They're not going the way of the Lord. Now, we're going to be in heaven, praise the Lord. But there's going to be great judgment come on this world. And it is coming, folks. Just like God told Noah, it's coming. Get the ark built. We need to realize it is coming. We need to be in the ark. That's in the safety with the Lord. But we also need to be yielded to God and watching and waiting for the coming of the Lord. So on over in, let's look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, Peter here preaches, he's mentioning Noah also in two places in the epistles of Peter, clear over in the New Testament, toward the back of the New Testament. Chapter 3, verse 20. Here he's talking about Christ that has suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, in verse 18, how he wants to bring us to God and put to death in the flesh. But he was put to death in his flesh, but he was quickened in the spirit. And then going on in verse 20, he preached in verse 19, it says that Jesus preached to those that were down in the heart of the earth where Jesus' spirit went, of those who went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, this is kind of an unusual group of scriptures because it's the one time we find out that when Jesus died, he went to what is called Upper Sheol. He didn't go to hell, to the place where the torment is. He went to the place where all the righteous dead from the way back in the Old Testament, were their spirits were kept in this place called Abraham's bosom. And this tells us that while the ark, the water started to come down, the ark was shut, that there were people who maybe come up and knocked on the side of the ark and said, let us in, let us in. We believe, we want to be saved. They weren't saved by physically there, but their spirits were saved. And here they are in this place where Jesus went when he was there, died, and his spirit went into Upper Sheol, and he preached to them there in prison. Isn't that something? That they had this opportunity to believe. Now, how does that kind of jive with what we know later? In the tribulation, after Christ has come back and actually taken all the ranks of the church, the Lord's salvation is still going to be available to anyone who will believe. Anyone who believes can come and know the Lord as their Savior. Isn't that something? So that's kind of a type of that. Then over in 2 Peter, we see about him mentioning Noah again. Let's look there. 2 Peter, the second chapter, verse 5. And it starts in verse 4, so we'll read verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sin, now that's recorded back in the book of Genesis, that God cast down Lucifer. He cast down, and it's recorded other places also, those angels that sinned, that went against God. One third of them went with Satan and tried to ascend up above God. We find in the scripture. And God cast them down and delivered them into chains in darkness to be reserved in judgment. And he spared not this old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So here it is mentioned again. It's an important fact that the believers knew about, that God had had this person in the Old Testament named Noah who was obedient to God. You and I can't even imagine that. How would you like it if you and your wife and your three sons and their wives were the only people left alive on the whole world? Wouldn't that be something to not feel sorry and maybe weep and say, Lord, why are you doing this? Those poor people out there, they're all drowning. See, but he was so in tune with the things of God. He was a man after God's heart. He walked with God. He yielded to God. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a magnificent character. So we're going to turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is another portion that we all love. And love to talk about these men and women that God brought to mind here in this chapter as being by faith, that by faith they did certain things. If Noah had no faith, he could think, what good is it going to be to me to build all this ark and work all this hard? I mean, he didn't have power tools. He didn't have any big, huge cranes to lift up the boards. This thing was massive. He didn't have anything. How on earth did he do that? You know, we can think that. We think, how on earth did he do it? Did he have metal tools even? Did he have a metal hammer, or was he using a rock or some kind of a tool with a big stone in it? We don't know, but we know that God was with him and gave him this power. And he believed what God said. Can you imagine messing with something 120 years and not ever seeing the results? I mean, couldn't he have said maybe after a month even, well, Lord, when is it going to happen? You know, it's taken me all this time. I don't have it ready yet. I don't have all those stalls installed that I have to have. But here we're going to read in verse 7. By faith, see, by faith, that's how he did it. Noah was warned of God. And we're just going to kind of look at these parts. He was warned of God. We just saw that in chapter 6, verses 13 through 21. God tells him exactly what to do. Water's going to come on the earth. There's going to be a great flood. You've got to build this ark. He gave him the blueprint. He told him what to do. And he enabled him to do it. Isn't that something? And that's the way he does us. If we have faith in God, he's going to enable us to be a Noah. He's going to enable us to be some of these people that we see in this chapter, these people of faith that believed what God said and absolutely followed him, no matter what. So he was warned of God. God is warning us today. He did not reason. He didn't say to God, God, we don't have any rain. What is rain anyway? It doesn't rain here. It says water came up from the ground and watered things. He could have said, what is a big boat? What are you talking about? I live on dry land back here. If I build a boat back way back over here, how am I ever going to get it to water? He could have said all of those things. And then he could have said to God, well, God, you're telling me to go out here and preach to all these people. There's not room on that ark for all these people. See how he could have reasoned that all out? And that's how we are so often when God expresses something to us or tells us something. We'll say, yeah, but how's that going to work? Aren't we that way? I think all of us are. And notice it was things not seen. Things not seen as yet. He was going totally by faith, as it says there, by faith, because he had not seen it. Hebrews 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you've got something you've been praying about a long time and it never has happened yet, doesn't mean it isn't going to happen. God's just trying your faith, as the scripture says. And he does that to see if we will keep on trusting and keep on believing. So it was things not seen. And then notice what he did. He moved with fear. You mean he was just scared to death of God and that's why he went ahead and did it? That word in the original means reverence. And it means to be devout. We know what it means to be devout. Really, obedient. I mean, this is my faith. I will be devout in my faith. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. That's how Noah was. He believed God's Word. God said it. Okay, God, I don't understand it. I don't know what you're talking about, me building this ark here on this dry ground, but I'm doing it, Lord. Here I am. I'll do it. So he moved with reverence and respect for God. And notice that he moved. That stuck out to me this time. No excuses, no waiting. He moved ahead by faith. He took those steps and he walked out. He said, okay, God, here goes. That's what the Lord impressed on me. Okay, the fourth thing we see there, he prepared an ark. This speaks of internal fitness. He built it well. He knew it had to float, so he put pitch all over the outside. Can you imagine all the work this was? I mean, they didn't have it in little tubes, caulking or something. They had to go find a pit and dig up the gunk and bring it up there and smear it around on things. And they didn't have anything, as far as I know, to take the stuff off of their hands if it got stuck on there. They probably had black hands, huh? So they built it well, and they put the pitch all over it, just like God said. And this was all amidst the persecution. The persecution. People coming out, oh, look at them. Isn't that weird? They're building a boat. Look how big it is. What on earth are they thinking about? God, they're going nuts. Sometimes people think that of us because we go to church. Well, they're wasting their time. They're going all the time over to that place. What's there? You know, well, they're holy rollers. That's one of the things they used to call us when I was a child, especially. Okay, the fifth thing I saw there was to the saving of his house. He obeyed God. God said, you and your family will go into this ark. And he wanted his family saved. He cared about his family. And he did all of this for the whole world. I believe he knew that if everybody all of a sudden just changes and all these people are doing all this vile stuff, all comes out here and says, we repent, we repent. I think he thought and knew God will just not have it like this. These people will repent and things will be okay. But somehow in his heart, I've got to obey God and build it so that 8 people can be comfortable on here. And enough supplies to take care of us, we don't know for how long. And it wasn't just 40 days and 40 nights. It also was a plus 150 after that. So these people had to be supplied for. And this was the saving of his household. And that's something that's very, very important. I know all of us realize that, is to be sure that our children are saved and pray for them that they will walk with God and be ready for the coming of Jesus, be ready when the storm comes. So at 120 years, he was there. How much faith did that take compared to our lifetime? I'm 80 years old, folks. How many years of trusting in God? I was saved when I was 5 years old. I was filled with the Spirit when I was 8 years old. I'm not telling you that to bring any glory. I'm just saying my father was a minister. We were always in church, you know. But yet, here's a man that he was already 600 years old, and he goes and builds and works on building this ark for another 120 years before he ever saw anything. He didn't see God rescuing them. He just kept right on doing what God told him to do until it was time for him to be rescued. Praise the Lord. And then what else happened? It says he condemned the world. Now, he wasn't up there saying, you dirty sinners, you're going to get just what you deserve. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, believe in God, trust in God. The salvation is of God. I know he was preaching that. He was a preacher of righteousness, Scripture says, we read a while ago. And so he knew that that was going to have it. But that the world was condemned. They refused reconciliation with God. They refused to be saved. They refused to enter into the ark. And so God then condemned them. And he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You know, we think of an heir as being, you know, this father passes it, what he has, to this man or this mother, and passes it to her children on down. Well, isn't that what happened with Noah? He was an heir. His great-grandfather was Enoch. His next father was Methuselah, that lived the longest of any man recorded in the Bible. His godly father, Lamech, he was an heir of this righteousness. And of course, we are all heirs. We are the children of the living God, and we are all heirs of the righteousness of Christ, which is by faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? It was to the saving of his house. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And what a wonderful lesson that is to us. Praise the Lord. Righteousness, justification by faith. It speaks of our acquittal when we receive the Lord as our Savior. So, I have one more scripture to read, and then I promise you I will stop. Let's go back to the book of Matthew and look there just a moment. In Matthew 24 is where we're going to go. And it's a wonderful thing how Noah is mentioned in different places. And that's what I wanted to catch in this message, was how God uses him as an illustration. Now, in this chapter, the latter part especially, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back in power and great glory. In verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, this is the coming of Jesus at the end of the tribulation. When he comes the first time, it's going to be as a thief in the night when he comes to take away his bride. That's found in 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter, verses 3 through 18. But in this time of the coming, the whole chapter is speaking about the tribulation, how bad pestilence will be, how much warfare, all the stuff will take place, how that the children of Israel will be having to hide out to be kept alive and all of the things. But one of these days, at the end of that tribulation, Jesus Christ is going to come back in power and great glory. And so going on down in the chapter, in verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, the word know, there's a Spanish gentleman in the meeting, Grace meeting out in California that my brother Tommy used to be associated with. And they found this word know, his parents did, that's what they named him. His name was Know. So we'd forget and call him Noah all the time because it's what it means. It means Noah. So in the days of Noah, what was it in the days of Noah? People were marrying, and as it says here, let's look and see. Verse 38, as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Yes, and then he says in verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now that watching will be for believers in the tribulation time also, because there'll be many that will be martyred. Many people that receive Christ and will take the mark of the beast, they're going to be martyred during the tribulation, and they'll be looking forward to when he comes in power and great glory and delivers them. But that scripture is very, very important for us too in our day, that we watch and realize how near we are. Saints of God, these things happening in this United States and in this world, I really never thought I would see a pestilence like this. This is bad. This has been a bad deal, hasn't it? And then when you hear of all the people in the world going through all these things that they're going through, and the way that the world is going, in our United States, there could be laws passed that would just prohibit so many of the wonderful things that we enjoy in Christ. So we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for this time that we live in, because as it is in the days of Noah, you know, people are doing the same things. They're marrying, giving marriage, drinking, and eating, and not caring anything about God. But one of these days, time will be no more. There won't be any more time. It'll be time for the ark to be shut. And when that ark door is shut, then it's going to be very pathetic, isn't it? Sad and horrible for a lot of people. A lot of people will not receive Christ during the tribulation. It's not going to be a time of great revival. There'll be so many that take the mark of the beast that then they can't be saved because they've made a decision. So we just need to pray and trust and realize where we live in time and space right now here. We're living in that time of very near the coming of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Shall we sing a song?
Let's turn to 143 in the Grace and Glory. Stand to worship Jesus. 143.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, by His grace I'll trust Him more. Oh, how sweet true trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, by His grace I'll trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus' simple taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, by His grace I'll trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned
Precious Jesus, precious Jesus, by his grace I'll trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, by his grace I'll trust him.